The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Connell & Company.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome to Pep Talk. I'm Meg with you this morning at 850-437-1620. Very excited to have in the studio with some guests from Connell & Company. And I'm seeing a very familiar face this morning because Bubba Peters is here. Bubba and I got to know each other back when he was with SRIA and I was at the Pensacola Beach Chamber. So great to see you. Funny that we're wearing different hats today.
Yes, ma'am. No, it was very interesting when I walked in today and looked across the table and saw you. So it's nice to see a familiar face in a unfamiliar area.
Absolutely. Also with us this morning, we have Angela Sherrill, who's also a realtor with Connell & Company, and Will Mabin. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Right.
Okay. Well, first of all, we're giving everyone a heads up. We are expecting President Biden to be giving a commentary or speech at any moment. So we are going to be carrying that live and breaking in for a few minutes. We don't expect him to talk for a long time, but we do want to cover that. So just to give y'all a heads up about that. But in the meantime, three realtors in my studio, tell me a little bit about what makes Connell & Company special. Why should I come to you?
We are family owned and we have been in business for over 40 years. We pride ourselves on hundreds of years of experience, and we're the local flavor.
I'm tempted to ask what that means, but I'm not sure if I should.
It's good. We know lots of shortcuts to some great locations for houses. We know the history. We've seen a lot of wonderful progress and prosperity.
That's really great.
We are your locals and your neighbors in most cases.
Yeah. Sure.
We're also the realtors and the company that you can trust. You can come back to us year after year, send your children to us. We've been in business for a long time. We've been in the same location now for over 40 years.
Yeah. And where is that location?
It's on Airport Boulevard in front of
the
Cordova Lanes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So right in the heart of Pensacola.
2107 Airport Boulevard.
That's
right.
Great.
The big red building. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that the Fed is coming out with some new information today. Are you all interested in hearing about that and how that's going to affect things?
Yes.
I would love to hear that they're lowering the rates, but
yeah.
Unfortunately, they've been telling us that, but not doing it.
Right. And I would like to think that it would affect purchasing power for homes. Unfortunately, rates for mortgages have risen the last couple of months, even though rates have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine balance.
Well, I think a lot of people have been waiting to see what happened with the election to decide whether they're going to put their homes on the market or not, or whether they are going to buy. So where are we in the market in Pensacola right now? Is this a good time to buy, sell? Should we wait till 2025? Or what would your advice be?
It is, number one, if you're a buyer, it's always been about what can you afford, no matter what the rates are. Certainly, you have more buying power the lower the rate is, but ultimately, you know what your budget is, and if you're able to live within your means, that's the most important thing. The last thing we want to do is have you purchase a home and then a year later come back to us and say, we can't afford it.
Right.
Even though a year ago you could. So,
no, it's very interesting to hear what is happening in the market right now and whether or not to buy or sell.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got the holidays coming up. And so what is your opinion now about what is happening in the market?
Well, nobody likes to move in the holidays, but people do have to move at a point, and you're always going to need somewhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
And renting, you're just giving your money away no matter what. You're paying for somebody else's house.
Yeah.
So if you're a buyer, I say buy.
Mm-hmm.
The rule in investing in real estate is buy and wait instead of wait to buy.
Right.
Because, oh, okay.
Real estate prices have consistently gone up year after year after year. We did have the 2007 where we had that market correction. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, oh, the market's going to correct again. It's going to correct. No. It's not going to correct again. It may lower a little bit, but we won't see anything like the 2007.
Prices have softened a wee bit, which mm-hmm. probably needed to happen. And so as a realtor, the other side of the coin is we work with sellers. We work with both parties, both buyers and sellers. And so for a seller, part of what we get to do is say, hey, your home value has increased over the last, you know, forever.
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last several years, it's only increased this amount.
Right.
And it does depend where your location is. It does depend on what you have, how you've been able to maintain your property. Curb appeal is important. But, you know, taking care, being sure that your house is safe, sound, and sanitary, so important. So being sure that you have maintained your home, the water heater, the roof, the piping, the air conditioning. I mean, those are all things that none of us really like to pay for.
Right. We don't let it go as long as possible.
Right. But in the long term, it's smart.
And
right,
more efficient.
Of course.
It makes your house run more efficient. Yeah. You don't have to worry as much either because you've been taking care of it all. It's like taking care of your car. You run out, you start it up, and it should go.
Yeah.
Same thing with taking care of your house. You want it to be there when you need it. And we all need that house every day.
Yeah. That's right.
To take care of that house. So just to tell you a little bit about our pep talk, this is Angela and my show.
Okay.
My name's Will Maben. I'm with Connell & Company Realty. And you can reach me at 850-261-7020.
And I'm Angela Sherrill, and I'm with Connell & Company Realty. And my direct line is 850-292-3165.
Angela and I, we started this show so that we could give basic real estate knowledge to the listeners. And we've also brought in a lot of guests for our shows. We've had several different ones, and today I'm very proud to say that we have Bubba Peters in, and he's going to talk a lot about the property appraisal and how are they giving your home value. We're excited about this, and Bubba, welcome to our show today.
Oh, thank you, Will. Yeah. I greatly appreciate you having me on.
Congratulations as well.
Thank you.
That's right. Congratulations. I'm sorry. We've been talking, and we were talking before the election, but
right. Congratulations.
We're here now.
Yeah, many people was, Bubba, I didn't see your name on the ballot. Well, you know what happened? I said, I hope you never do. Being unopposed is the best way. So.
Yes, yes.
So tell us about yourself.
Like you said, I am Bubba Peters, lifelong resident of Escambia County, graduated Tate High School, PJC when I went there, now PSC, UWF, got a management and finance degree from UWF, continued, got my MBA, started working with Mr. Jones at the property appraiser's office in my freshman year of college in 2003, so I've been there 21 years.
Wow.
Started as a student, was just imaging documents, and went over into the commercial side of the house, if you will, and worked my way up. Was a field evaluator on the commercial side, and then moved into the management role, assistant supervisor, then supervisor. And then in 2017, our chief deputy, Keith Hodges, he decided to retire, and Mr. Jones tapped me to be his chief deputy. So I've been honored and blessed to be able to do it now going on, 7 years as his chief deputy, learning, you know, from the best. So just personal side, I am married to Jessica. We've been married for 14 years. I have three children, Trip and Caroline and Charlotte, 11, 9, and 3.
Oh, boy.
Needless to say, the three-year-old snuck up on us. But just a little personal about me.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the role of the property appraiser.
So the property appraiser, we fit in, we sometimes get confused with the tax collector, or we get confused with the municipalities that are setting tax rates. At the end of the day, we truly have two primary jobs. That is to set the values, appraise the property throughout the county, as well as administer exemptions. That's the two main focuses for us. You just received your tax bill. That, again, is a blend of our appraisals. Those appraisals are as of January 1. So here you're receiving your tax bill based on an appraisal that occurred nearly, 10 months ago.
Well, the taxes are also collected in arrears, too.
Yes, sir. That's correct. So you're essentially paying taxes based on your January 1st of 2024's value. So we would use, it's as though I sat down on January 1st and did an appraisal on your home. So I would have to use 2023 and prior data. In a market that's appreciating, it's easy to explain. We're supposed to be at, the law states, 100% of market value, but then we're able to reduce that down to essentially what the net proceeds of the sale. So we're able to deduce out what would be the cost of sale. So somewhere around 10 to 15%, including, you know, that would include your commissions, financing charges, all the different closing costs. So our appraisal is going to come in around 85 to 90% of what we felt the market value was as of January the 1st. So you would take that value. It would be multiplied by the millage rate. That millage rate is set by the municipalities. So you have your county, you have the town of Century, you have the city, the Downtown Improvement Board, the school board. They will set their millage rate, what they feel that it's going to take for them to essentially fulfill their budget from an ad valorem side. And then we will, you know, then they will assess the taxes of that. We just send over, on October, we'll send over the tax roll to the tax collector, and then they will combine those two, the millage rate and our assessments, and that's how you receive your tax bill November 1st.
What is a millage rate?
Okay, so the millage rate.
Good question.
It's actually one of the best questions.
As Angela holds up her statement.
Yeah, Angela's sitting here with a tax bill. So the millage rate, the way the millage rate is supposed to be established is on June the 1st, we give each municipality what's called June 1st estimates. So we provide them what the tax roll appears to have as far as a taxable value. They're supposed to take that value and then look and see what their budget is going to be. So they should establish a budget prior to, of course, establishing the millage rate. They look at their budget and say, okay, we have this much of taxable value and we need this much money to run the government. So we take those two, divide them, and that's what the millage rate ends up being. I don't know if that's actually how it's done. I just know that that's how it's supposed to have been done. So your millage rate many times doesn't change.
Right.
You know, it's been held steady. But at the end of the day, if your property value increases, then your property taxes would increase. You know, you have two things working there. You have a millage rate and you have a property value. Well, if one holds steady and the other one increases, naturally, the value, the end result is going to be an increase.
Right.
Okay. So I do have my tax bill here so that you all understand when you're looking at yours, as far as millage rate, the county charges 6.6165 mills.
Collects.
Right.
And then the public schools, by local board, by state law, it equates to almost 5 mills.
We generally tell people it's around 50% or so of your tax bill is school related.
Right. And then the city of Pensacola collects 4.2895 mills.
Right.
Now, there's some areas in Escambia County where you don't have to pay that tax.
Right. And so when you're figuring your insurance, if you live in the county, it's generally cheaper. Your property taxes are generally cheaper in the county as well. Then there's a water management collection. There's an MSTU library millage collection. And then there's the Escambia County Children's Trust.
Right, right. So just to be clear on a millage rate, you would take your assessment. And so a millage rate is per $1,000 of assessment. Mm-hmm. So if you had a $100,000 assessed home, you would take 100 times the millage rate, that 6.6.
Yeah.
And so that would be how you would essentially get to or arrive at the taxes that you would owe the county. So that was one thing that many people don't realize, that millage rate is based off of per $1,000 dollars of assessment.
Right. So. Now, on mine, I also have stormwater.
That's a new one, right?
Yes, that's a new one. And I believe it was only for City of Pensacola residents.
Correct. So I don't want to get into the taxation. However, I will tell you that stormwater has been on the tax bills for years.
Right.
But there was, to my knowledge, there was an adjustment this year in efforts to essentially remediate, you know, the flooding and things that go on within the city. When you get a densely
downtown
populated,
in particular.
Right. You get a densely populated area, you have a lot of impervious area. And so water, it's going to go where it wants to go.
Yeah.
And so what we try to do is divert it. And so as we continue to build, we create more impervious area, which means that water doesn't have time to, you know, to soak into the ground, and it has to be diverted. So the stormwater, those efforts are to fund infrastructure improvements in order to divert the water, hopefully not into someone's house, but into a drain.
Yeah. Right. It's an overall, it's a larger picture. It's
right.
It's a worldview, so to speak. So,
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you just joined us this morning, you're listening to Pep Talk with Meg, and we have our friends from Connell and Company here with us, Will Maben and Angela Sherrill, and their guest this morning, Bubba Peters, our property appraiser.
So, okay, Bubba, continuing with this, tell us about homesteading, the homestead exemption, and why it's important.
Yes, ma'am. So the homestead exemption was established in 1938. As we were coming out of the Depression, they established a homestead. It went to a constitutional ballot. It was voted in. It was a $5,000 exemption there and exempted everything, including school board. And so you got to remember, 1938, $5,000, they were taking many of the homes off of the tax roll at that point. So it stayed that way until about 1980. In 1980, they increased it to $25,000. Mm-hmm. That $25,000 did include still, and I keep saying the school board because in a minute it's going to change. So it did affect the school board taxes. In 1994, they created the second phase of the homestead. That was our Save Our Homes. In my opinion, the most important factor mm-hmm. of the homestead. What the Save Our Homes did is it allowed for the assessed value to be suppressed at no more than 3% or the CPI, whichever mm-hmm. is the lesser of the two. So if the CPI was 2%.
Okay. Okay, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but we are going to take a minute here to check in with President Biden with our David Wayne at News Radio 92.3.
Breaking news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good morning, 1024 News Radio, and President Joe Biden addressing the nation live this morning from the White House. We go live to Washington, D.C.
Thank you. Please. Thank you. It's good to see you all, particularly good to see my granddaughter sitting in the front row here. Hi, Finn. How are you, honey? For over 200 years, America has carried on the greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world. And that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. We're the people. The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails. Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition. That's what the American people deserve. Yesterday, I also spoke with Vice President Harris. She's been a partner and a public servant. She ran an inspiring campaign, and everyone got to see something that I learned early on to respect so much, her character. She has a backbone like a ramrod. She has great character, true character. She gave her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran. You know, the struggle for the soul of America since our very founding has always been an ongoing debate and still vital today. I know for some people, it's a time for victory, to state the obvious. For others, it's a time of loss. Campaigns are contests of competing visions. The country chooses one or the other. We accept the choice the country made. I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree. Something that I hope we can do, no matter who you voted for, is see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Bring down the temperature. I also hope we can lay to rest the question about the integrity of the American electoral system. It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent. And it can be trusted, win or lose. I also hope we can restore the respect for all our election workers who busted their necks and took risks at the outset. We should thank them. Thank them for staffing voting sites, counting the votes, protecting the very integrity of the election. Many of them are volunteers who do it simply out of love for their country. And as they did their duty as citizens, I will do my duty as president. I'll fulfill my oath, and I will honor the Constitution. On January 20th, we'll have a peaceful transfer of power here in America. To all our incredible staff, supporters, cabinet members, all the people who have been hanging out with me for the last 4 years, God love you, as my mother would say, thank you so much. You put so much into the past 4 years. I know it's a difficult time. You're hurting. I hear you and I see you. But don't forget. Don't forget all that we accomplished. It's been a historic presidency. Not because I'm president, because what we've done, what you've done. A presidency for all Americans. Much of the work we've done is already being felt by the American people, but the vast majority of it will not be felt. We felt over the next 10 years. We have legislation we passed that's just only now just really kicking in. We're going to see over $1 trillion worth of infrastructure work done, changing people's lives in rural communities and communities that are in real difficulty, because it takes time to get it done. And so much more, it's going to take time, but it's there. The road ahead is clear, assuming we sustain it. There's so much we can get done and will get done based on the way the legislation was passed. And it's truly historic. You know, we're leaving behind the strongest economy in the world. I know people are still hurting, but things are changing rapidly. Together, we've changed America for the better. Now we have 74 days to finish the term, our term. Let's make every day count. That's the responsibility we have to the American people. Look, folks, you all know it in your lives. Setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable. Setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable. We all get knocked down, but the measure of our character, as my dad would say, is how quickly we get back up. Remember, a defeat does not mean we are defeated. We lost this battle. The America of your dreams is calling for you to get back up. That's the story of America for over 240 years and counting. It's a story for all of us, not just some of us. The American experiment endures. We're going to be okay. But we need to stay engaged. We need to keep going. And above all, we need to keep the faith. I'm so proud to have worked with all of you.
This is a Fox News
really
alert. I'm Lillian Wu. President Biden gives his first address since Donald Trump's election victory over Kamala Harris.
For over 200 years, America has carried on the greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world. That's not hyperbole, that's a fact. We're the people. The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully.
Speaking from the Rose Garden on the peaceful transition of power, also praising Vice President Harris Meanwhile, the Trump team is getting ready to fill some key positions.
According to the Washington Post, these are some of the names being tossed around. Secretary of State Rick Grenell or Marco Rubio. Secretary of Defense Senator Tom Cotton, though he is pulling himself out of consideration. Other names being thrown around. Doug Burgum, Elon Musk, obviously RFK Jr.
Fox's Bill Malusian. This is a Fox News Alert.
All right, 10:31 at News Radio 92.3. Of course, we just heard from President Joe Biden there addressing the nation. We heard that in its entirety. Right now, we've got 74 degrees. It is cloudy in Pensacola. Taking a look at our local news headlines today. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says he wants people to know help is available for those struggling in a domestic violence situation. He held a press conference yesterday to provide phone numbers that people can call to break that violence cycle.
Please call them if you feel you're in any kind of situation where you need any kind of help with domestic violence. And when I say domestic violence, I'm not talking just getting beat up. There's other forms of domestic violence. There's intimidation and just you have to watch out for yourself and your children if you have children. So please reach out to us, and we will help you break that cycle.
And Johnson gave those phone numbers out. We've shared those on the News Radio 92.3 website, also on the Facebook page. And this comes after two domestic violence-related murder-suicides in Santa Rosa County just this week. One happened in Pace. A boyfriend shot his girlfriend Tuesday morning and then killed himself. And another happened later that same night when a 52-year-old man shot and killed his parents and then killed himself in Navarre. There was also another murder-suicide in Navarre just over a week ago involving a husband and a wife. The Justice Department now looking at how they can wind down two criminal cases against Donald Trump now that he's been reelected. NBC's Laura Jarrett.
Both federal cases mired in appeals and delays for months with no trials on the horizon as Mr. Trump has vowed to fire the top prosecutor in charge, Special Counsel Jack Smith.
And those two cases center around the January 6th Capitol riot and also the classified documents case. The Trump camp also looking at how to get rid of the state charges in New York and in Georgia. SpaceX planning a launch today. They're going to be launching a Falcon 9 at Cape Canaveral at 2:13 our time. That rocket will be carrying more Starlink satellites into orbit. 10:33 at News Radio.
We will have mostly cloudy skies today with a 40% chance of some showers. We are going to have highs near 80 degrees, lows tonight near 70 degrees. For Friday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise cloudy with a high near 81. Friday night temperatures dropping near 71. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 75 right now in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. And our next news at 11, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Markets are eagerly awaiting the results of the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting, which wraps up later today. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is set to deliver remarks at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and is predicted to announce another interest rate cut. Experts say this cut is expected to be by 25 basis points. The rate currently sits between 4.75% to 5%. The Post reports hundreds of jobs will be slashed at iHeartMedia as the radio and podcast giant struggles under a crushing debt load. Sources say the layoffs amounted to less than 5% of the company's workforce and is meant to streamline its business and eliminate redundancies. LinkedIn has debuted an artificial intelligence hiring assistant that can take on the role of job recruiters. The tool's capabilities include sourcing candidates, outlining roles they are looking to fill, and asking potential hires screening questions. Stocks are currently mixed. Dow Industrials down by 41, the NASDAQ up by 232. That's Your Money Now.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A northwestward motion is expected on Tuesday and Tuesday night.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Ivan 20 years ago. Which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. This is Meg with Pep Talk, and we have our guest in the studio from Connell & Company, our realty company. And I'm excited to introduce Will Maben and Angela Sherrill, who are here with us, with their special guest, Bubba Peters, our property appraiser. Good morning, and thank you again. We took a little break to hear President Biden, so we were right in the middle of a conversation about property taxes and the millage rate. So why don't we continue with that, Will?
Welcome back, everybody. Bubba, you were just telling us about homesteading and homestead exemptions. If you could, let's pick up right there.
Okay. So we had kind of got to where the first exemption had gotten moved to about $25,000 in 1980, and then in 1994 is whenever they added, as I was stating off the air, probably the most important factor of homestead, and that's the Save Our Homes provision, which essentially capped the assessments at 3% or the CPI, whichever is the lesser of the two. So, for example, if you have a year where the CPI is at 2%, you would have your assessments increased only by 2%. And the reason why that's very important is in that same year that you had a 2% inflation, you may have had a 20% appreciation in the actual real estate market. So you wouldn't want to see your, you know, your real estate taxes go up by 20%. So it's capped.
Okay. CPI.
CPI, Consumer Price Index. That's essentially what's going to measure inflation. And we've been running over the 3% the last few years. So the max has been that cap of 3%. But historically, inflation runs around 2. That's pretty historic. So then the third phase that we voted in, constitutional amendment, was in 2008. It went into effect 2009, and that was the additional $25,000 exemption. That $25,000 exemption does not affect the school board. They were essentially held harmless. So it does apply to your county millage rate, your city, Town of Century, Downtown Improvement Board, the Children's Trust, all of the other millages that are assessed. It does apply to. And so that actually, I know one of the questions was going to be regarding Amendment 5 that actually passed on Tuesday. So Amendment 5, we talked about the CPI. Amendment 5, what we voted on is to essentially peg that second, that additional $25,000 exemption to a CPI index, to the Consumer Price Index. What the Consumer Price Index does, it tells you what your dollar is worth today. So if you had a dollar today and inflation went up 2%, that same dollar today is now only worth 98 cents. So in order to keep that dollar a dollar, you have to adjust it by the inflation. So what we essentially elected to do is to keep the $25,000 exemption, which is it gives you about $300 to $350 off your taxes. We're trying to keep it where it keeps giving you the equivalency of a $300 to $350 exemption. So as, to give you an example, you have 25,000, let's say it does increase by the 2%. So that particular exemption would go up to 25,500, 2% of 25,000 is $500. Not a lot today. But you're really playing the long game with this exemption. We had talked about how many times we have went back to the Constitution to change the Constitution to give additional exemptions. what this would do is essentially keep you from having to continue to go back and open up the Constitution in order to change and amend the ad valorem tax exemption. So as it moved forward, that $25,500, another 2%, it would then go up to around $26,000. Mm-hmm. And so that exemption would continue to grow with the CPI. There is no cap. So if the CPI, the inflation was 8-9% a few years ago, that particular exemption for that year, it would increase by that 8 or 9%, and it does not go down. That was a key provision in that if we do have inflation go down in the negative, that exemption, so let's say it increased up to $30,000 and we had a year where we had the inflation go down, it would stay at $30,000. And then the next year, if it went up 2%, you would see it go up another $600 because of the $30,000. So that's what we essentially did, is we just pegged that particular exemption. The children are still held harmless because it does not affect school board. But what it does grow that exemption in efforts to continue to keep a dollar a dollar.
Right. Who is eligible for the exemption, for the homestead exemption?
So homestead exemption, you have to make the home your permanent and primary residence. Okay. You can't rent it. It can't be a second home. It does have to be your permanent and primary resident. Mm-hmm. And so by doing that, that affords you the opportunity to apply for homestead exemption. You need to apply for the homestead exemption by March 1st. So if, for example, if you bought a home this year, your first opportunity to apply for homestead exemption would be 2025. Right. So everything is based on that effective date of January 1st. We talked about the value being based on January 1st. Mm-hmm. All exemptions are based on the owner as of January 1. So if you bought the home December 31st in 2024, you would be eligible to apply for homestead in 2025. Right. And you would need to do that by March 1st.
Right.
News Radio 92.3, you're listening to Pep Talk. Bubba Peters, the property appraiser, is explaining quite a few important issues around real estate. On our host today are Connell and Company with Will Mahan and Angela Sherrill. If you have questions and like to call or text in, 850-437-1620.
Yes. Hey, y'all, I'm Angela Sherrill with Connell and Company Realty. My direct line is 850-292-3165.
And I'm Will Mahan. My phone number is 850-261-7020. We're always here to help. Angela and I, you can reach us pretty much 7 days a week. Or you can just stop in our office at 2107 Airport Boulevard. And if one of us aren't there to help, we do have thousands of years of experience under that roof. And somebody competent can help you in that office.
Right.
If we're not available, we would love to help you ourselves. We're also lucky to have Bubba Peters here with us today. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
On your new post. And thanks for being here.
No, thank you for inviting me.
We're getting some good stuff. So I have a question. I have a house that all of my neighbors have been in their houses for 40 years around me. Mm-hmm. Now, I bought my house and I fixed it up, and it was my homesteaded house for years. Raised my kids in it, and they all have left and gone about their thing. So my wife and I, we rented that house out and bought a new house out in Pace. I'm loving Pace, by the way. But it was my homestead house up until June of 24. We're going to have a new homestead house January 25, where we are now. So on this house, I'm still able to take advantage of the homestead from this year because it hasn't reassessed, correct?
Correct. So I think what we're really concentrating on is what's called portability.
Right.
That was also something that we voted on in 2008. Okay. That was put in place in 2009. So portability, another great aspect of the benefit of having a homestead, especially long term. So each year we talked about if your value of your home, let's say it goes up 20%, you had a, make it easy, $100,000 home, it went up 20%. It's your homestead. Okay. So, and we'll say that the CPI ended up being 3%. So the maximum that your taxable value is going to go up, your assessed value is going to be that 3%. So you're going to go from 100,000 to 103,000. However, your market value is going to go from the 100,000 to the 120,000. Okay, you pay taxes on the assessed. So you're paying taxes based on that 103. Well, where the benefit is for portability is that difference, that spread between the market value of 120,000 and your assessed value of 103,000. So now you have what's called, what's actually it's called Save Our Homes Value, but we call it deferment. You have essentially a deferred amount that you are not paying taxes on of about $17,000. Well, you do that multiple years, and let's say you run out 5-10 years later, that amount, it swells to a very large amount. So what happens is you are able to take that amount, that port amount, that deferment, that difference between your assessed value and your market value, you get to take that and apply it to your next homestead. Depending on if you're buying a more expensive home or a less expensive home, that determines how that transfers. So if you're buying a more expensive home, you get to take dollar for dollar over with you. So if you had $100,000, let's say you were paying taxes on, you had an assessed value of $150,000 and your market value was $250,000, there's a $100,000 difference. If you were buying a home in Pace and it was more expensive than the one in Escambia County, you would get to port that as long as you're in the state of Florida. So it's not just in your county. If you move to Miami-Dade or move from Miami-Dade to Escambia or Santa Rosa County, you would again get that benefit of the port. So you would get to move that $100,000 because you're buying a home that's more expensive. You get to take that dollar for dollar. So that immediately comes off your next home.
Within how long?
You have a 3-year period. Well, it used to be long. Two.
Mm-hmm.
But then they moved it to 3. And the reason being is it's per tax roll year. So let's say you did sell your home on that December 31st date. December 31st of 2024, 1 day later, you've used your first year because tax roll 2025 is gone.
Oh, boy.
That
so
burns.
Now, think about it.
Okay.
If you end up buying a piece of property, you want to design a home, have a custom home built, it could take over, you know, well over a year to get that done. So you at that point in time, you really only had a year and a day because January 1 of 2026 – if you haven't moved into your home and established homestead by then, you lose that port. Well, they did. They've had many issues with that, so they did move it to 3 years. So now you have 3 years of port. So a minimum of 2 years in 1 day.
Okay.
But if you bought or sold in February, you would have essentially, you know, the remainder of the year plus the following 2 years to get established.
So just to be clear now for my buyers out there that are looking at these new houses, and let's say we're buying from a customer who has had a homesteaded property, they're going to be able to take advantage of that homestead exemption
right
for that first year.
That's right. So, for example, you
– that could –
I was just going to interrupt just for a second because we do have a listener on the line. John has a question for you. So, John, you are on the air.
Hey, John.
Okay, guys. I have a kind of a stupid question. I've had a realtor come to the house a couple times, and they say, you know, the first thing you need to do is declutter the house. So it's like, okay, so you want me to get a porta box and put half of my furniture back in it, and if they decide not to sell it, I got to drag it back out. Pros and cons of leaving some furniture in there to sell with the house or not?
Well, John, now, just to say it, the less stuff that you have in a house, people can come in and they can actually start placing their furniture. When I'm out showing right. property, if a customer starts placing their furniture, I've sold them. That yeah. house is that is their house. As soon as they start seeing their couch sitting over there. But sometimes if your couch is sitting over there, they can't see their couch sitting there. So
they can't visualize it.
Exactly. Correct. So you do have to be able to live, though.
Right.
So, you know, when it's declutter or you just want to make sure it's nice and clean and it's accommodating for
right.
people to go into. But you also want to think about if you were the buyer, you walk in, you want to be able to place your furniture. You know, I've got that couch I love sitting on, and, you know, I'm going to say, ooh, it'll look good right there. As soon as I do, that means that I'm now thinking about where I would put my stuff in this house. I'm no longer thinking about, well, will this house work for me? No, I'm making it work.
Right. Another thing, John.
Is it tougher to sell a house?
Go ahead. You go ahead.
I would say, is it tougher to sell a house now because of the insurance on a house? You know, is it true that you have to have a roof every 15 years, whether you need it or not? Is that a pro or con?
Let's talk about the first question, about your first question of insurance. Insurance has definitely made it more difficult because it's more expensive. A lot of times what Will and I deal with are buyers that qualify for their mortgage. Unfortunately, due to a whole lot of other factors that are not in control, that they are not in control of, is insurance knocks them out. And so that goes, that's why it's important as a homeowner that, you know, some days it is better to go ahead and replace that water heater. It is better to go ahead, you know, and maintain your home to the best of your ability. And then you have to let the chips fall where they may.
Let me tell you a little horror story. I had to have an arbitrator pay him $5,400 to roof a $32,000 roof, and I'm 73 years old. Now, who has $52,000 or $32,000 in their house at 75 years old when they're in the bank?
Wow.
So, fortunately, luckily, I got it done. But, boy, it was a scary time for at least 3 months.
Oh, and it's scary every time you have to do something to your house. But that's why we need
especially in Florida.
But that's why we need that insurance, because it's not if a storm hits. It's when, and we have to be prepared for it.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, John, for calling into Pep Talk. If you have a question or a text, call at 850-437-1620. And we do have another question. This takes us back to the homestead exemption conversation. It says, do I have to apply every year? I bought in 2020. Am I still exempt?
That is a great question. I actually have a couple of things I want to touch on that. No.
Can I pause you real quick?
Please.
Hey, John. Angela and I would love to help you with the sale of your house. You can reach us at 850-261-7020.
And Angela Sherrill at 850-292-3165.
Okay. Sorry about that, Bubba.
Oh, please.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the question is...
So, no, you do not have to apply every year. Now, there's a couple things. Many people believe once they've applied one time and they move to a new home, they think that homestead just goes with them. Every time you move, you do have to reapply. The next thing that we get, and it's overwhelming. I mean, people are making the largest financial investment of their lives when they purchase their home. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting there. They're signing for sometimes an hour or longer paperwork. They're hearing the word homestead, but they don't truly understand what's going on. And many people think that they applied for homestead while they were at the closing table. You are not ever applying for homestead while you're at the closing table.
Well, that would make it easy, though.
Yeah, it would be
great. I was just going to say. But you're right. I've heard, I've assumed that.
Right.
That you're doing that.
Absolutely. And it's
I mean,
it's
there's so many papers. What's
yeah,
a few more?
After a while.
And so kind of touching on the point that you had earlier about receiving the benefit of the previous owner.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I bought the home in February. Okay. I'm not paying my taxes what my situation is. I'm going to be paying the taxes based on what the previous owner, what their situation was. Let's say they've lived in that home for 20-plus years. They had a veteran disability type of exemption. Let's say they should have been paying $4,000, but their tax bill was only $1,000. Well, come November, that $1,000 is going to be paid by your escrow company, because mm-hmm. that is the taxes due at the end of the year. However, many people, they say, oh, that was $1,000, and they think that that's what it's going to be. Well, if they don't apply for homestead, they're going to miss that year. So you want to make sure that you get that homestead applied for.
And they may not get the same discount, so you do have to plan ahead. That's where having a great realtor behind you actually helps. Those are things that I do tell my customers, hey, look, we need to watch out for this. You're going to have to readjust escrows, other things. Angela and I, we do this all day long, every day. So you don't always get those. You know, you'll get the deal for the first year, but then after that, it's going to readjust. And you could be low on your payments and have to come up with a large check at the end of the year.
Would you say that it takes about 3 years after you've closed and been and had the benefit of the former owners for your house to catch up to the purchase price.
Right. So having professional realtors like you, Will, and Angela, and being able to explain those details are very critical, because we have had people call our office in tears, explaining their situation. They bought a home and they could afford a $1,500 home payment.
Right.
Well, that first year they bought in February. So that first year they paid the taxes of the previous owner, and let's say it was only $1,000. So what their $1,500 payment that they had been paying all year was based on that $1,000 tax bill that they received. Well, then the next year is when they're supposed to be escrowing for their tax situation. And let's say their tax situation is going to be over $3,000. Well, you come around, you got to go through that entire year again. In November, your escrow company, so now we're talking a year and a half, almost 2 years removed,
yeah,
your escrow company is going to pay the taxes for that year at, let's say, $3,500. Well, now you owe your escrow company around $300 a month.
Well, $2,500 right. difference yeah. right there.
And so then they have to, so in January, you get the nasty gram. You're talking about 3 years later.
Yeah. Right.
January, you get the nasty gram. Hey, you owe us money. And not only do you owe us money, we need to start collecting for next year's taxes.
So oh, my goodness.
You right. got a $300 a month increase to pay them back, and then a $300 increase to get your escrow where it's supposed to be.
That's so a $600 swing on right. a yeah. $1,500 mortgage.
You are already, huge. That's it. You were already cutting it very, very thin at $1,500.
Yeah.
And then now you go to $2,100. And that is a fixed cost for now, the next 12 months of your life. Many people can't swing that. So having realtors like yourself that will explain that
mm-hmm.
to tell the buyer, look,
be
don't
prepared.
Let this be what you're preparing for. Go ahead and put some money back, because in almost 2 years,
yeah.
you're going to have your escrow adjusted.
It's right. coming.
Yeah, no, that's great.
What about somebody who has bought recently, young buyers, and they didn't realize that after that first year they needed to reapply if they had, you know, had the homestead exemption from a former owner, and they missed the opportunity to homestead, and then so the next year, how, at what rate are they, does their homestead get evaluated?
So when a homestead gets pulled off, when a new homestead is going to be applied, it all has to be readjusted back to market.
Okay.
So let's say you were receiving a benefit of only paying on $150,000 on a $300,000 home.
Okay.
Because you've been in it so long.
Yeah.
That person that buys, it goes to $300,000. Now, I will say that if you do miss the March 1st deadline, you're going to receive a trim notice from our office in around August. Okay, that is your opportunity to look and say, whoa, I don't see my $25,000 and the additional $25,000. I don't see my exemptions on here. That's your time to come see us.
Okay.
Wow, right. What a great discussion this morning.
Yes.
Thank you so much to Connell and Company. We have Will Mahan here and Angela Sherrill with Property Appraisers, Gamby County Property Appraiser Bubba Peters. Thank you so much.
I'm Will Maben with Connell & Company Realty. My phone number is 850-261-7020.
Signing off for the next time, 850-292.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.